The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The Texas foster care system has been called so messed up that it was declared unconstitutional because how the children in state care became so deeply traumatized and damaged. In the past legislative session, a law was passed that reformed the foster care system, and now that law is kicking in. It's called community-based foster care. It shifts power and authority over to local care providers. But what does that look like? How is this a solution? What more can be done? And how can San Antonio as a community play a role in community-based care? Community is not just a buzzword, it's also an action word. San Antonio as a community can get involved. These are our community children. You can call in with your questions and comments. Number is 210-614-8980. As we talk about this reform for foster care, 210-614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this afternoon with Annette Rodriguez, President and CEO of the Children's Shelter of San Antonio. Erica Buñuelos is the Regional Director of the Children's Protective Services, Region 8A, and Judge Peter Sakai, Bexar County 225th District Court Judge. Welcome, all of you. It's great to have you here this afternoon. Annette Rodriguez, can you kind of start us off and explain what is this reform?
Yes. So Senate Bill 11, during the last legislative session, outlined what the new model of care would look like for foster care. So currently, or historically, there's been a centralized approach to the foster care system. So everything is run out of Austin. And so for organizations like the Children's Shelter, who provide services to children who are in the foster care, we have to contract with state office to be able to provide those services. And so state is having to manage and monitor over 300 contracts across the state of Texas, making them very much like a cookie cutter, very, very prescriptive in their approach. Community-based care changes that. We are now allowed through this new legislation and through these new contracts to partner directly with our regional office of Department of Family and Protective Services, work with the workers who are on the ground, and partner with them so that we can find better placements for children and most appropriate placements for children, but also be innovative in our approaches. So no longer do ideas have to run up the entire flagpole all the way up to Austin, but we can work with our partners here in our regional offices and create new approaches that we know will be better for children in foster care.
And Erica Buñuelos, can you talk us more about, you're with Child Protective Services, a regional director. What does it look like from where you sit?
So it definitely is going to look different. So right now, if we remove a child and we're looking for placement, we do it internally. Now we go over to Tapestry, who will help us.
And that is the Children's Shelter. That is a program that you operate.
Correct. That's the new contract that we got. We're calling it Family Tapestry.
Yeah. Right. So Tapestry is now partnering with us to assist us in locating local placements for our children. And so they're able to, they have a wonderful new care match system that will help them find those placements for our kids. And as time goes on, it won't happen immediately. Tapestry will work on building capacity within this community, building facilities or recruiting more foster parents for us. The ultimate goal for us is to have a partner that can help us bring children back into Bexar County, place them close to their community. What we know from our system is that children do way better in all kinds of outcomes if they're placed in their community. So if we're removing children from Bexar County, we want children to be here where they look like the people where we removed them from. They're close to their church. They're close to their school. And that is really the ultimate goal for us.
And Judge Peter Sakai, as a judge, you have a lot of authority. Removing children from their parents is a big responsibility. You don't take it lightly, and you want to make sure that they are going to be treated well when that happens. And so talk about what this reform means for you.
Well, obviously, it's a paradigm shift. The legislature has spoken, and obviously there are people that support it, and there's people that may have some criticism of the process, but it is the law, and it's something that we have to follow. And I'm proud to say that the Children's Shelter has stepped up and been designated the lead child placement agency, Child Protective Services, through its leadership of Erica Manuelos and Commissioner Hank Whitman out of Austin, have all signed off, and the courts, and I have personally said that we're going to make this program work. Obviously, there's a lot of concern about the privatization features of the program, and that ultimately caseworkers that are employed with Child Protective Services may be moving over to the private sector and with the children's shelter. But those are phases. And so at this point, what we're really excited is that we're in the child placement process of where Children's Shelter is, through its Family Tapestry program, is going to be the lead agency to find the better homes and the homes that best meet the needs of our foster children. At some later date, case management will come in, and we'll figure that out. But the court system, the Child Protective Service system, and the private sector are all together on this, and we're going to make it work for Bexar County.
Through the eyes of a child who is caught in this system, how does this look, Annette?
So from day one, our contract took effect February 1st, which was on Friday. And from day one, through the partnership that we have with the department, we were able to make changes. So as Erica mentioned earlier, the state is still responsible for removing a child. That will always stay with them, and that will be their responsibility. But once a child is removed, then that child will be transferred over to Family Tapestry, and that's when we will start working and looking for placement. So one of the changes that we were able to make right away on day one, and again, this was through conversations and discussions that we were having with our regional workers, was that there was a gap in a service for children coming in. So a child is freshly removed from an abusive, neglectful situation, and a worker has to go and remove them from that high anxiety, high emotional type of situation. And the state worker then has to have those children in the back seat of his or her car. And depending on where they are in the city, they may have to go park somewhere to enter information into the system, and or they have to take the children to DFPS office to be able to enter that information into the system. And we've opened up a new Whataburger Center for Children and Youth, where now children don't have to wait in the car or wait in an office. We now have a place for children to go where it's child-friendly, trauma-informed, and it's hopefully a very smoother transition and more child-friendly transition into the foster care system.
So if there's like a crime scene, a drug bust or whatever, and there's children at the scene, and the law enforcement, the police or sheriff's deputies, they immediately call Child Protective Services to come to the scene to help deal with the children. And then you will take the children directly to the Whataburger Tapestry Center, is that right? And then there it is a more of a home-like environment where they have rooms ready for these kids. You're not going to be spending the night in an office. You're going to have a bed. You're going to have toys. You're going to have items, comfort items. People will there be ready to welcome you and treat you like an individual and not like another problem and like we don't know what to do with you. Is that basically how that works, Annette?
That's exactly how it will work. So if a child comes in, if they need a bath, we'll take them a bath. If they need meals, we have a cafeteria on site. We'll provide them with meals. And we have playgrounds. So it's almost like camp, even though it's a sad situation.
They've gone through a lot.
Absolutely.
All right, we're talking about reforms to Child Protective Services, foster care system. This went into effect on Friday, and a lot more changes to come. They're also talking about we need some support from the community, needs more support from the legislature. Got a question or comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. If you have a question, a comment, or a story to tell us about the foster care system in Texas, we want to hear it. 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about reforms, deep reforms to the community-based foster care system. This is a way to kind of get out of a bureaucratic system to more of a local-based system that we have here in San Antonio, provides immediate care for children that find themselves taken away from their parents because they are in danger in their home life. And what does that look like? How will these be be improvements. With us right now is Erica Banuelos. She is the Regional Director for Child Protective Services here. And so now that we have this Tapestry Center with the Children's Shelter of San Antonio, what does that mean for the caseworkers?
So what that means is that they'll have added support. You know, caseworkers have a lot of different things that have to take place when we remove a child or when we're needing to move a child. So now what that means is that we have a partner that we can go to, and that they can, while they're looking for the placement, we can be taking care of other things that have to be done in order for us to complete that placement. It's not as simple as just putting a child in your car and taking them out to a foster home. There's a lot of different things that have to be taken care of. And so the fact that they'll have somebody else that they can help them take care of the children while they're taking care of all the other things will definitely help us do a better placement for our kids. And in addition to that, it's just feeling like you're not doing it all by yourself. The responsibilities that a caseworker has is just enormous. There's just a lot that goes on. And so to have somebody to partner with us in that, I think will definitely result in overall just better outcomes for our kids.
210-614-8980. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about the foster care system in Texas. If you fostered a child or if you thought about fostering a child, you're needed. You're a part of the community. The community has got to be the solution for this issue. 210-614-8980. Mary is on the line. Hi, Mary. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I had a question about doing emergency kinship placements. So far, they've talked about what sounds like placing the kids into foster care, and I'm just wondering how quickly kids can be placed with their relatives or close family friends, and if that's something that can be done right away so the kids don't spend time in foster homes.
All right, Erica, you want to answer that?
Absolutely. Our first priority is to place our kids with kinship caregivers or kin givers who have a strong relationship with our kids. And so anytime that we remove a child, we are actually mandated to ask the parents for relatives. And so we try to get those. If a relative steps forward, we expedite that to get our children to be placed with the relatives. Of course, we have to do background checks and do several things just to ensure that that home is going to be ultimately safe for our kids. But if you have a loved one that comes into our care and you find out, contact us immediately and say, I want to be a placement for my grandchild or my cousin and
my nephew.
And so we will try to expedite that process to make sure that we get them placed there if it's a safe place. And the court is very good about supporting that. And even with Tapestry, we have an agreement that if we find a relative and they're already in a foster home and we know that there's an appropriate relative, then we will take them from, we will transition that child from the foster home into a kinship caregiver home, which is a relative home.
And Judge Peter Sakai?
I know that in Bexar County, the majority of children in temporary foster care, temporary managing conservatorship, in other words, those are the children that have been removed and are awaiting the final hearing as to whether the rights of the parents are going to be terminated or restricted or they're going to be returned to the parents. Those children are with family, kinship, kin placements. And so that's something that Bexar County has taken a leadership role in the state of Texas. And the state really has looked at Bexar County as a model as to look at family. So we've done our very best to maintain the family integrity. Obviously, Erica has pointed out that we got to make sure those homes are safe and that they've been checked. And obviously, the Tapestry program, my conversations with Annette is we're going to continue to have that dynamic so that we don't put so much load on our foster care system, because we do have, in some situations, limited capacity. And those are the difficult situations.
So we've been doing a lot of coverage of the human sex trafficking problem that we have in Texas and in the nation. And one statistic that really leaped out at me was that 80% of, it's pretty hard for me to really figure out what this statistic is and what it means, but it was like 80% of the kids that have gone, have some contact with the foster care system, end up being trafficked at one point or another. Judge Peter Sakai, can you talk, how does that happen? What does that mean?
Well, what happens is, and that's what was part of that federal lawsuit, is that these foster children, when they become permanent wards or in permanent conservatorship of the state, and they basically grow up as the Child Protective Services as their parent, because of the limitations and the overload with cases and the turnover with caseworkers that are better here in Bexar County, but have been problematic in the past. What happens is these children don't get the supervision that our children, that our biological children or our family members get. And so they're most vulnerable. And what we've learned is that the negative part of our society, the organized crime, the cartels, the pimps, so to speak, of our community prey upon our most vulnerable. And so part of our task and chore with the Tapestry program and with this new collaboration is to make sure that these homes are safe, that these homes are making connections with our children, and that these children want to stay in these homes. And obviously, as the children age, we know that a lot of them do not want to stay in care. They have what they call intensive level, and they are chronically runaways, and they will stay on the streets, and they will get recruited by the trafficking. And so that's why our local trafficking programs that just opened up last week at the Youth Alternatives, La Puerta, the new facility, is such an exciting program to help find these foster kids and give them a safe harbor.
And okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to add, so under Family Tapestry, one of the things that we're going to be able to do, and again, this is where a community-based approach really works, is recognizing that that's a concern for our children that are in foster care. We are going to be contracting with a group called Presidium, who looks at children who are in foster care systems and facilities, and they work at making sure that those children are safe. So they work with each provider that's in our community, having them look at their safety procedures, their safety practices, and ensuring that those practices and processes and their staff are trained appropriately so that we're keeping our children safe in the process. So that's going to be something we're going to be bringing to our network.
But we know that children that end up being sex trafficked, that they are, it's a dangerous life. It is horrible. You're basically a slave. And if they're coming through the system, is there any opportunity in the system to educate the children to what is happening and what to look out for and how not to fall victim into the pimps? And because they're being psychologically manipulated most of the time. And if we give them some tools, maybe they can be inoculated against what happens to them. I mean, Erica, is that something that happens?
So we've done a lot of work with the human trafficking. We know that our population is very vulnerable. And so, we've added some added support for them, such as when they run away, we immediately have steps that we take. But we also have what we call special investigators that work very closely with them. And when they do a lot of education with them as they build a relationship and try to recover them, we have resources within our agencies, too, that we try to give them. But one thing that we are currently working on is ensuring that those resources that are within the community, that they start specializing on just human trafficking, so that when they are working with our youth, that they specifically give out the correct information that matches to human trafficking. Because human trafficking is very different than when you're working with somebody that has domestic violence or has these other issues. And so as a community, we need to make sure that those services that we're building and that we're developing within the community, that they are specific to human trafficking, because that's what our youth will ultimately benefit from.
Right. And Judge?
And the courts have also addressed it. We have a crossover court that Judge Lisa Jarrett over at our juvenile district court runs. And basically, these are children that are both in our juvenile justice system because of referral, because of some violation of law, typically runaway or some child in need of supervision issue. And they're also in the foster care system. And basically, Judge Jarrett has been very successful in intervening and has discovered that most of the female and male children, that foster children that come through there, have been exposed or have had contact with the trafficking world. And it is a very difficult cycle to break. But one of the things I'll take a little bit issue with the comment of trying to educate the children, is that what Tapestry focus on, and I think that's why I'm a believer in this community-based care, is that we need to develop homes. We need to develop people that will connect with these children, and they're special needs children. They are children that are going to be a handful. They're going to be a children that are going to be a challenge, but they're not really going to be any different than the children we have it raised. And they're going to have their challenges within themselves, and we just need people committed to have the patience, the compassion, the care to care for these kids and hang in with them. And one of the things about community-based care is that we'll have no reject policies. Placements can't just say, well, come here, pick up your kid because I can't handle it anymore. Tapestry is going to help increase the capacity, because there is a lack of capacity in Bexar County, especially for high needs intensive children. And we're just going to have to work on that. And that's the reason why this program and this conversation is so important.
And so Annette Rodriguez over at the Tapestry, you mentioned that Whataburger has stepped up and they are a provider of also Harvey Najim has been as well. Right. What kind of role are they playing?
So recognizing that the state was moving towards this new model, as we looked at what we wanted this new model to look like for Bexar County, we recognized that the monies flowing down from the state was not going to cover all the expenses. We wanted to make sure that we were creating a system for our children that was truly transformational. It's unfortunate that a child has to enter foster care, but if they do, we want to make sure that we're adding value to their lives and creating good memories. And we can only do that is if we invest dollars with great services that we know will work. And so our community has really stepped up. We've had our philanthropic community, our philanthropic donors have invested $7.28 million that we will be able to use for Family Tapestry to create the types of services and bring the types of specialized training that we need that will support our providers but support our families so that we can grow some of the capacity that Erica and Judge have been talking about, some very specialized niche services that currently don't exist. And that's the reason why sometimes our children have to be placed outside of Bexar County, because we don't have those services here.
These reforms that were put in place by the legislature, has that allowed to create the agency to raise the money and able to do things in this way that before was not possible?
Absolutely. Before, we were just a contractor with the state and didn't have the opportunity and nor the authority to go out and raise monies in this way to transform the system in this way. And now with community-based care, as I mentioned, we get to partner with our regional office of DFPS and truly create a system that is unique to our county. We can leverage the strengths of our county. We know who our providers are, and we can create the innovative services that our children need.
But not everyone can write these big fat checks. I mean, what can an average person do to try and be part of the community solution?
Well, we need our community to get involved. And so there are over 50 nonprofits that we're going to be contracting with that will be providing services. So anyone can volunteer with any of those 50 nonprofits to provide services, because they will have children in their care that they will need help with. In addition to that, as Judge mentioned, we need foster families. We have a huge capacity loss in our area for foster homes. And so I would say go to familytapestry.org. We have a website that has a map that shows all the different organizations that we're contracting with, and it shows them by geographic location where these organizations are. So there may be that there's an organization that is working with foster families right down the street from where you live or where your children go to school that you can go connect with and find out more about what it takes to be a foster family.
And you need babysitters?
We need babysitters. Our foster family.
Are they like real babies, or what do you mean?
Well, babysitters for infants all the way up to age 16 So our foster families, they like to have a date night, or they want to be able to go out and just do some things as well. And we need to have babysitters who have background checks and who are trained to be able to care for these children. And so sometimes we just need a respite process for our foster families.
It seems like a great way to find out if this is something that you would be a good fit for you, a great way to kind of start and test the waters. We're going to take a break. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Do you have experience? Or are you interested in becoming a foster parent? What are your reservations? What do you want to know about the process? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Have you had any kind of contact with the foster care system? We really want to hear your stories and give us a reality check from the inside. 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about community-based foster care. And when we talk about foster care, it's not just for the little babies or the toddlers. It's also all the way up to teenagers. And this is also requires community-based foster care as well. Erica Bunuelos is with us. She is the Regional Director for Child Protective Services Region 8A. Can you talk about the special needs or what needs to be remembered when it comes to teens who are in these situations?
Absolutely. I think where I'm very hopeful is that Tapestry will be able to grow the capacity in terms of foster homes that can provide a home for our teenagers. A lot of the time, what we see is that they're looking to foster babies, two-year-old, three-year-olds, but where our need is for those teenagers that are 15, 16, 17, and to remember that, you know, just like our own teenagers have some issues, our teenagers in foster care also have issues. And so we need people out in the community who are committed to this population, because I really feel like those are the years that we can really shape their future and have a great impact in them. And so I'm hoping that the community will hear that there is a need and hear some messages regarding that, and that we'll be able to grow that capacity here in Bexar County, because it's very much needed.
Annette Rodriguez is the president and CEO of the Children's Shelter San Antonio.
What I'd like to say is, you know, Erica's right on. We will be focusing on what are the needs of our foster care system. And as we get ready to launch a recruitment campaign in May to try to recruit more foster families from our community, we're going to be very specific. We're not going to say we just need a blank statement of we just need foster families, but we're going to be very specific and say we need foster families who are willing to work with teens, willing to work with children who may have autism, willing to work with children who have medically fragile or have medical needs, because those are the children that usually end up staying behind. Because to Erica's point, it's easy to fall in love with the small infants that are coming into care, but the children that are coming into care who have more issues and more challenges, those are the children that if we don't have a placement for them, they'll end up lingering in the system. And that's where we really need our community to step up and recognize that these are our kids, and they can only be offered a successful future if we offer it to them. And we need our community to come together to be able to provide that successful future. And what Family Tapestry's promise is that if foster families step up, we'll make sure that through our network that they have the training and the support that they need so that they can be successful with those children and youth.
The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Do you have experience, or are you interested in becoming a foster parent? What are your reservations? What do you want to know about the process? Carla is on the line. Hi, Carla. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just mentioning that I had a personal experience when we were young. We were taken away, and when we were given back, my mom had fought the court for so long that she spent all of our mortgage on that, and we were given back homeless. You know, my original question is, if they don't make birth control readily available to people, then they're more likely to have an abortion. And when I had my second child, I was covered by Medicaid because I don't have a lot of money, you know? And so they asked me if I don't wanted my tubes tied. And I said, well, yes, of course. And they said, well, you have Medicaid? It's like, well, it doesn't cover that. But if they were readily giving people procedures to stop the problem in the first place and making birth control more readily available...
Carla, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. But it does come to the point of like providing medical care for the children when you become a foster parent, and making tough decisions. Also, I know that vaccinations was an issue that came up in the legislature when we was figuring out who gets to decide on certain things. It used to be that under the old system, that the state had certain rules and protocols in place, and now it's shifting over to these new public-private partnerships like we have here in San Antonio with the Children's Shelter. So, Annette Rodriguez, how do you navigate those?
So the children that are in foster care are covered by the Medicaid system. And so we will continue to work with our state partners to ensure that they're getting access to those services. So they've got the medical coverage that they need. So if they need to go to the doctor, if they have medical needs, whatever their presenting issues are, those services will be covered through Medicaid.
And Erica, you know, you're with the Regional Director for Child Protective Services. And if you have children and they're in their teens, they become sexually active, does the Child Protective Services get involved in that?
Absolutely. So we do, just like any parent has the responsibility to talk to their youth about their body and about how to take care of themselves and about
the birth control
consequences, we are responsible for them as parents. Especially when they're already in our permanent managing conservatorship. And so we do have conversations with them regarding birth control, but we do give them choices as well. They have all our kids in foster care, they have rights, and we have to honor those rights. And so our responsibility is to have a conversation with them, to talk to them about those things. And then we also have programs that we can refer them to, and they also have a therapist that they can work through as they have questions and are trying to make those really tough decisions that many of our own teenagers are making as they go through those teen years.
And Judge Peter Sakai, we heard from the caller, talked about she had been taken away from her mother, and when they were returned to the family, there wasn't a lot, you know, they were homeless after that. As a judge, can you talk a little bit about your decision-making process about restoration of the family as a unit, but also looking at these circumstances? How do you weigh all that?
Well, before I answer that, let me kind of back up and address some of the concerns the caller had and what Erica just alluded to. One of the things in regards to the older children, especially the female children in our permanent care, the foster care system, is the court has addressed that with our PEARLS program. That was a program, PEARLS Court, that Judge Renee Yanta created and is still going. And it was an attempt to focus especially on female children that are growing up in our foster care, for them to get empowered with the knowledge of their rights and the ability to break the cycle of abuse and neglect. And the exciting thing about Tapestry and what the caller was addressing to was the fact that perhaps there wasn't a lot of resources or a lot of services. And one of the things I'm real excited about, what Children's Shelter has taken a lead, especially in the past few years and will continue, and I assume incorporate in this new community-based care, is the fact that we want evidence-based outcome programs. We want programs out there that are working. We want programs that help put children back with their families, that will help those parents overcome their addiction, the domestic violence, the mental health issues that they're confronted with. We know that trauma-informed care is not just a buzzword, but it's something that we require in regards into the treatment that these parents and these children get. And the Children's Shelter basically has already stepped up, and I'll just pass back, because as a judge, I just have to make decision based on the facts and the law that are before me. And unfortunately, if those facts and the laws are not in the best way for these parents, unfortunately, their rights are restricted or terminated. And so it keeps putting children into our foster care system. And that is something that I have alerted both Erica and Annette, is that we have a lot of children in Bexar County. We have nearly 3,500 children, and I'm committed to start knocking that number down, which means we've got to get these children out of foster care, but to safe homes, which means we got to relook at family. We got to look at parents. We've got to get foster families looking to adopt. We need people to step up and take care of these kids.
What about going upstream? What are the factors that cause the circumstances where children are put in situations where they get taken away? You know, what's causing all this, Judge?
Well, you're focusing on prevention, and that's a whole another hour of discussion of what we need to do. And obviously, I would pass back to Erica and Annette on what their thoughts are on the prevention side of abuse.
Annette Rodriguez?
So what I'll add to that is that there is some federal legislation that has come down. It's called the Family First Prevention Services Act. And that's looking at monies that are normally funneled down from the federal government to state governments to be used in foster care. And now the federal government is saying, if you're going to use these dollars, you need to use them in a certain way. And part of that way is focusing on prevention. Let's try to keep children from having to come into the foster care system by working upstream, working with those families who are in crisis, working with those vulnerable families, providing them with the supports that they need so it doesn't get to the point where CPS has to step in and potentially remove a child. And so down the road, the state's looking at that legislation. There's a lot of things that need to be done before we as a state are ready to accept that, accept those steps. So we are in a 2-year waiting period where we are preparing as a state so that we can draw down those dollars and then start funneling those towards prevention and working with our families upstream.
And so do you want to add more to that, Erica?
Well, I just think if we're talking also about what the community can do, you know, when we look at reunifying a child back into their home, it is imperative that the community be involved. Whether you're a teacher, a preacher, a neighbor, you can really impact how successful that reunification is for that child. And so I would just say to the community that you have to get involved with your neighbors and find out what's happening. And how can I be a part of bringing little Jimmy back home? How can I support this parent? Because when we look at addiction is not something that you're going to cure. That parent will relapse eventually. And so we need to make sure that there's somebody there to be the safe haven for that child. And that takes community involvement. Like I said, whether you're the neighbor, the teacher, the preacher, whoever it is, if you have a good, strong relationship with that child or that family, you can be such a great support for that reunification to be successful and for that child not to return back into the system.
Again, the community, it all comes back to interacting with each other, keeping our eyes open, asking each other how you're doing, talking to these kids, being aware, and figuring out a way we can work together. Take another break. The number is 210-614-8980. What are your questions about this new model for foster care in Texas? What are your hopes? Are you skeptical? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The mission of Family Tapestry is to weave together the community to transform the foster care experience. On Friday was the day that they launched, and Family Tapestry will have the Family Tapestry Placement Center at the Whataburger Center for Children and Youth, where CPS investigators in Bexar County can take children and youth who are removed from their home due to maltreatment. But what happens after that? What happens when they get there? Annette Rodriguez is with us. She's the president and CEO of the Children's Shelter of San Antonio. How long do you think children are going to be at the Tapestry Center, and what happens there?
So our Family Tapestry, the Whataburger Center for Children and Youth, really is a last resort placement. So when a child comes into care, they've been removed by Child Protective Services, we are going to be working very closely with our DFPS partners trying to find a placement for them. And one of the great things and innovative things that we've been able to incorporate is what we call our care match system. It's a new technology that allows us to enter all of the foster homes that we have in our community that we have contracts with, also all of the facility beds that we have in our network, and as we gather information from the children, we enter that into the system, and so the system will then create kind of this perfect match, if you will, of based on the children's needs, where this child would be, where their best placement would be. And so in looking at other states and other organizations who have used this technology, they've been able to drastically improve on the number of disruptions or placements that a child has to go through in the foster care system. And so the Family Tapestry Center will be there as a last resort. So if we cannot find placement in our community, if we cannot find that perfect perfect match, then a child will go into our Whataburger Center for Children and Youth so that they don't have to spend the night in an office. And so I can say that with the creation of the Whataburger Center, that children from 8A from Bexar County will no longer have to stay in an office waiting for placement. Instead, they will have a facility that is geared for their needs.
Let's go to the phone lines with Marisa Perez. She's with the State Board of Education, District 3. And Commissioner Perez, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm really excited to listen to this conversation. You know, I started my career in Child Protective Services, and, you know, I love that there's this focus on this community-based approach to the foster care system. You know, every child that's going through through this situation are dealing with external factors and traumatic factors outside of the classroom that really impact their education. No matter what experiences our students are having or our kids are having, they have to be in school. And so I'm wondering, what if any education entities are being brought into the conversation or involved in this process as you all talk about supporting these foster families through this, because, you know, I think that while the main focus of this, of Tapestry seems to be, you know, support and permanency for these children, you know, focus on the present, what are we doing to help support these kids into their future?
Right. Thank you so much, Commissioner Perez, State Board of Education, District 3. When they hit 18, you know, they have to have some things to fall back on. Annette Rodriguez?
I appreciate that question. Thank you for calling in. The whole system is geared up to helping children be successful. And so one of the outcomes is keeping children close to their place of residence or where they're removed from. So from the beginning, we're going to try to keep children in their home community, so hopefully they can continue to go to the schools that they were enrolled in. So we don't want to disrupt them from their school system. So that's going to be one primary objective that we're working towards. The other is that we do have a meeting getting scheduled in the next several weeks where I will be in front of all of the major school districts talking to the superintendents and the leadership about family tapestry, about community-based care, and start having those conversations about how we can work together to ensure that children are receiving what they need. We know that school districts have foster care liaisons. These are liaisons that are supposed to be looking out for the children that are in their school systems, who are in the foster care system. And the other thing that I would add is we are starting in partnership with the City of San Antonio and with Voices for Children, we're starting a trauma-informed care consortium. And part of that consortium includes all of our school districts so that all of our teachers in our school systems are going to get trained in trauma-informed care practices and procedures so that when they're working with children in their classrooms who are in the foster care system, they're able to look through a trauma lens when they interact and engage with these children so that they can also be part of the healing process and helping children be successful.
Another caller, let's go to Billy. The number is 210-614-8980. And Billy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call. I am not a resident of Bexar County. I live in East Texas, and I am a CASA there. I happen to be visiting my grandchildren here and was listening to your program. The question I have, the young man that is that I'm his CASA, he was removed at birth almost because of drug abuse in his family. He was placed in foster care. He was adopted by the foster family. The foster family abused him. He was again removed from that family and their rights terminated. He went back into foster care, was adopted in the area where I reside, and apparently this young man has got some issues with anger management, and his parents relinquished their rights. And he is now in an RTC. I just wondered what you think his possibilities might be with this community-based program. Will they automatically replace the RTC, or will they work with an RTC to place that child in another foster family?
Billy, thank you for your question, and thanks for being a volunteer for CASA. Again, Annette Rodriguez.
That's
what is RTC?
RTC is a residential treatment center. Normally, that's a longer-term facility for children who are having emotional and or behavioral issues. And so RTCs were built and created with the hope and expectation that they would help children heal and then get them back out into the community.
It's not that easy.
It's not that easy. It's not. And RTCs will be part of the Family Tapestry Network because there are children where that is the best placement for them. But we also recognize that we don't want to leave children in RTCs. They should go in for a short time. They should get the interventions that they need, help them stabilize their behaviors, and get them back out into the community. Our goal is to have a least restrictive environment for our children. And one of the things that we're going to be working on here in Bexar County, we're not here now or today, but this is the vision and our network knows this, is that we want to use RTCs very intentionally, but also recognize that we want to use them on a short-term basis. We want children to step down out of RTCs, and we want to make sure that our foster families are trained so that they feel comfortable and that they're confident that they can work with these children and allow these children to live in their homes as a foster child so that they're not in a residential facility.
But so Billy's calling. She's not from San Antonio. She's from East Texas. What we're doing here, what we're seeing with this community-based model, we're kind of on the cutting edge here. This is San Antonio is leading. Bexar County is leading. I know it's also happening in Fort Worth and Abilene. But my understanding is that what's happening here is the most robust effort to take advantage of these reforms. Judge Peter Sakai, why do you think San Antonio is out there?
Because we have leadership in this community. We have leadership at the court. We have leadership at the district attorney's office. We have great leadership at Child Protective Services. And you've heard our private community, our nonprofit community, Annette Rodriguez over at Children's Shelter and Tullis Wells over at Kronkowski and Harvey Najem and Whataburger. They've all stepped up, and that's why they make Bexar County such a unique and a special place for children and families. And you asked earlier a question about what the small donors. What I would come back at you with is that in what we learn in politics, it's small donors that can change the world. And so I'm going to challenge the small donors of Bexar County to step up and give and participate and make this system work.
It's also important that our community understands what is happening. We frequently hear stories in the news about children having being taken out of, removed from parents, these horrific stories, and they'll make the headlines, and people kind of don't know, understand what's going on. But we have to, you know, as a community, have some sort of framework of knowledge of what's happening. I mean, because I'm sure, Erica, people come up to you all the time when they realize that you are a leader for Child Protective Services locally. You know, they want to know what's going on.
Absolutely. I think people sometimes, you know, they see things on the media and they think that's the way CPS works. We're just allowed to walk into somebody's home and take the child out. There's actually a lot of steps and procedures. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of law there that dictates how we do
our work.
Well,
here are the horror stories. People want to have confidence in the system.
Absolutely. And so what I will say is that CPS has actually a community specialist, and her sole job is to go out and educate the community about CPS, how we work, how children move to our system, what can they do to help? And if they're interested in having a presentation done, they certainly can call our main number, which is 210-333-2004, and ask for our community specialist who can go out and give them a great detailed presentation on our system so that they can know, this is where I can intervene, this is how I can help, this is what it means. We're a very complex system sometimes, and people just want to know, how can I help? That's what they want to know, or what does that mean?
Right, and having confidence, or at least that it's not just one big old hot mess, that nothing can be done. There are efforts being made here locally to find fixes, and we have to keep moving forward, looking for progress, forward-facing. And Judge Peter Sakai, what's the message you want to have for the community about what you want them to know about these changes?
I just want them to step up and get involved. And like I said earlier, if not making donations, then volunteering to babysit, looking at to be part of the foster care system, advocating by contacting our legislatures and making sure that they're going to continue to make improvements and provide the funding that this program needs. You've heard from Annette how expensive it is. And so we just need everybody to step up. I'm asking our community to do so, and I'm confident we will.
No more kids spending the night in offices. Instead, they'll be spending the night when they're in these circumstances. At the Tapestry Center, I want to thank Annette Rodriguez, the president and CEO of the Children's Shelter of San Antonio, Erica Banuelas, she is the regional director of the Child Protective Services Region 8A, and Judge Peter Sakai, Bexar County 225th District Judge. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.